Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Yom Tov, perek Vav. This perek deals with three topics and represents a transition within Hilchot Yom Tov. The first and longest topic is the institution of Eruv Tavshilin to allow cooking on a Friday Yom Tov for the next day, Shabbat, when cooking is prohibited. The second topic is the requirement of Simcha on Yom Tov. Even though the Rambam doesn't count this as a separate mitzvah in his list of 613, he still considers Simcha to be a critical component of the celebration of Yom Tov, as we'll see. This mitzvah applies not only on the 6 days of Yom Tov, characterized by the Isser Melacha, which has been the topic of Hilchot Yom Tov up to this point, but also on the intermediate days of Sukkot and Pesach, called Chol HaMoed. This leads the Rambam to the third and shortest topic of this perek, the practice of burial and eulogies on Chol HaMoed. The final two prakim of Hilchot Yom Tov will discuss at length the Isser Melacha of Chol HaMoed. Halacha Aleph. Yom Tov Shechal Liot Erev Shabbat, Ein Ofin Umvashlin B'Yom Tov Mashu Ochel Machar B'Shabbat, V'Yisur Zeh Midivrei Sofrim, Kedei Shelo Yavo Levashel B'Yom Tov Lachol, Shekal V'Chomerhu, L'Shabbat Eino Mevashel, Kol Shekein Lachol, L'Fichach Im Asa Tavshil Me'Erev Yom Tov Sheyeh Somech Alav Umvashel Ve'Ofeh B'Yom Tov L'Shabbat, Harei Zeh Mutar, V'Tavshil Zeh Shesomech Alav Hu Hanikra Eruvei Tavshilin. We saw in Perek Aleph that it is forbidden midoraita to cook on Yom Tov for a subsequent weekday, as this is not included in the category of Melechet Ochel Nefesh. What about cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbat? This is a debate between Amoraim in the Gemara, and the Rambam accepts the opinion that it is permitted midoraita, because Shabbat is a day of greater Kedusha than Yom Tov. But it is forbidden midrabanan, lest someone come to cook on Yom Tov for a weekday. In the days before refrigeration, this posed a major problem. How can one eat cooked food on Shabbat if he may not cook on Friday, or in many cases, both Thursday and Friday? Food made from before Yom Tov would not last until Shabbat. Chazal therefore added to their gzeira a loophole called an Eruv Tavshilin. By preparing a cooked dish before Yom Tov, on which he relies for Shabbat, one may continue to cook on Yom Tov itself for Shabbat. We note that several Rishonim disagree with the Rambam and accept the opinion in the Gemara that cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbat is Aser Midoraita, unless it is done early enough in the day that it can be fed to guests who show up in the remaining hours of Yom Tov. Even cooking for Shabbat that early in the day is still Aser Midrabanan, and the Erev Tavshilin is required in order to allow it. But the rabbinic institution of Erev Tavshilin obviously cannot permit cooking, which is Aser Midoraita. And therefore, for this other Rishonim, even one who sets up an Erev Tavshilin must complete his cooking for Shabbat early enough on Yom Tov to feed to any guests who show up in the remaining hours of the day. The Aruch HaShulchan is lenient to accept the view of the Rambam, but the Mishneh Berurah is lenient only in a case of great need. And so in practice, one should finish his cooking for Shabbat early enough on Yom Tov that there are several hours left in the day. Halacha Bet. V'lama nikra shmo eruv, shekeshem shehairuv shosin b'chatzirot uvamavaot erev Shabbat mishum haker, kedei shelo yale al da'atan shemutar lohotzi merushut rushut b'Shabbat, kach zeh tavshil mishum haker v'zikaron, kedei shelo yidamu v'yachshavu shemutar leafot b'yom tov ma she'eino nechal bo, ulefichach nikra tavshil zeh eruvei tavshilin. The Rambam asks the immediate question, why is the Eruv Tavshilin called an Eruv? The word Eruv means mixture, and we explain why this term is used for Eruv Chatzerot, where the ownership of each home and each portion of the Chatzer is mixed together among all the residents of the Chatzer, and for Eruv Tchumin, where someone's original Tchum, centered at his physical location, is mixed with a new Tchum centered at the location of the Eruv. But in what sense is the Eruv Tavshilin a mixture? The Rambam's answer is that this term is indeed inaccurate. The only reason that Eruv Tavshilin is called an Eruv is that it resembles an Eruv Chatzerot, in that both serve as reminders. Eruv Chatzerot is a reminder not to carry into the Rishut HaRabim, and the Eruv Tavshilin is a reminder not to cook from Yom Tov to Chol in the same way that he is allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat. The Rambam is implicitly answering another question here, which should occur to anyone attuned to the organizational structure of the Mishneh Torah. Why do the laws of Eruv Tavshilin appear in Hilchot Yom Tov, and not in Hilchot Eruvin, together with the laws of Eruvei Chatzerot and Eruvei Tchumin? If Erev Tavshilin is not really an Erev at all, and just borrows the name because it resembles Erev Chatzerot in a different way, then this seeming difficulty vanishes. The Ravid here objects to this explanation, and suggests that the term Erev Tavshilin is an accurate description, because the Erev Tavshilin too involves mixing things together. The small amount of preparation for Shabbat done in advance of Yom Tov serves to mix together the remaining cooking for Shabbat with the cooking to be done for Yom Tov on Yom Tov itself. In this manner, further cooking for Shabbat is permitted because it does not stand alone as preparation for Shabbat, but is inextricably linked with the remaining food preparation for Yom Tov. Halacha Gimel. Eruvei Tavshilin, Shiuran Ein Pachot Mikazayit, Bein Lechad, Bein Alafim, Ve'ein Osin Eruv Ze Lo Befat, Velo Berifot, V'chayotzei Behen, Ela Betavshil Shehu Parperet, Kigon Basar, V'dagim, Uveitzim, V'chayotzei Behen, Afilu Adashim Shebeshulei Hakdera, V'afilu Sham Nunit She'al Gabei Asakin Shechotchin Bahatzali, Gordo, Im Yesh Bo Kazayit, Somech Alav Mishum Eruvei Tavshilin. The Eruv Tavshilin must be at least a Kazayit, and this small amount allows cooking for an unlimited number of people, unlike the other two types of Erevin, where the required amount depends at least partially on the number of people included in the Erev. The food used for the Erev may not be bread, but rather must be some significant cooked, roasted, or smoked food eaten together with bread, like meat, fish, or eggs. It can even be cooked lentils gathered at the bottom of a pot, or fat from roasted meat gathered on a knife, as long as the shear comes to a kazayit. The Shulchan Aruch accepts lechatchila, the view of other Rishonim, that the Erev Tavshilin should consist of two foods, bread, along with the cooked food of the type described by the Rambam. B'dievet, however, the Shulchan Aruch concedes that one is yotzei if he uses just a single cooked food in accordance with the Rambam's opinion. The traditional food used for Erev Tavshilin alongside bread is a hard-boiled egg, because it lasts a long time before spoiling. However, with the advent of refrigeration making it possible to keep foods edible for a long time, some poskim recommend using a nicer food, like meat or fish, for Erev Tavshilin as a form of hiddur mitzvah. Halacha hei. V'tzarich sheyeh Eruv ze matzui ad shiofe kol shu tzarich lefot, v'vashel kol shu tzarich levashel, v'yachem chamin kol shu tzarich. Vim ne'achal ha'eruv, o avad, o nisraf, kodem shivashel o yofe, harei ze asur lefot ulvashel o lahachem, ela mashu ochel biyom tov bilvad. Hitchil bisato o betavshilo, v'ne'achal ha'eruv o avad, harei ze gomer. The Erev Tavshilin must last until all preparations for Shabbat involving malacha are completed. If the Erev is eaten, or lost, or destroyed before that point, then one may not rely on it to do any more malacha, and may only continue to prepare food which he will eat on Yom Tov. Though he may reassign food he has already cooked for Yom Tov to be used on Shabbat instead, and proceed to cook new food for Yom Tov. If one began the process of baking or cooking while the Erev was still extant, and the Erev was eaten or lost during the process, then he may complete the process even after that point. The Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah rule that collecting the ingredients in a pot is considered starting the process, even if the pot was not put on a flame before the Eruv was eaten or lost. The custom is to eat the food of the Eruv Tavshilin as part of the Shabbat meals. This illustrates that the Eruv Tavshilin really does represent the beginning of one's Shabbat preparations as it is meant to do, and is not merely a formal gesture. Halacha Vav. Hameniach eruvei tavshilin kedei shiyismoch alehen hu v'achirim, tzarich lezakot lehen, kederach shemezakeh be'eruvei shabbat. V'chol shezocheh be'eruv shabbat, zocheh be'eruvei tavshilin, v'chol sheino zocheh be'oto eruv, eino zocheh bazeh. V'eino tzarich lehodi ala elu shezika lehen me'erev yom tov, aval hein tzrichin leida shekvar zika lehen acher, v'erev lehen, v'achar kach yismochu alav v'vashtu v'yofu. Af al pi shelo yadu ela b'yom tov, harei elu mutarin. V'yesh lo la'adam la'arev al kol ha'ir v'al kol ha'karov elea b'toch ha'tchum. U'machar machriz v'omer, kol mi shelo hiniach eruvei tavshilin yismoch al eruvi. One may set up an eruv tavshilin for the benefit of others, but he must be mizakeh a portion of the food to them, as is done in the cases of eruv chatzerot and eruv tchumin. The same people who can be zocheh on behalf of others in those eruvin can do so for eruv tavshilin as well. Erev Tavshilin is a complete zechut, with no downside, like Eruv Chatzerot and unlike Eruv Tchumen, as we've discussed. And therefore, Zechiyah works even without the advanced knowledge and consent of the recipient. Even if someone only finds out on Yom Tov that another person made an Eruv Tafshilin on his behalf, he may rely on it to cook for Shabbat. One can make an Eruv through Zechiyah for everyone in the city, and inform the masses on the next day, Yom Tov, that anyone who wishes may cook for Shabbat based on his Eruv. The Shulchan Aruch rules that the Rav of a city should, in fact, be mizakeh his Eruv to everyone in the city, though he adds that this only works for someone who forgot, or for some other reason of onus, didn't make his own Eruv. One who is able to make his own Eruv and intentionally decides to rely instead on the Eruv made by the Rav of the city is called a Poshea, and according to the Shulchan Aruch, isn't Yotzei without other Eruv. But the Mishnah Berurah records that many poskim are lenient to allow lechatchila relying on the communal Eruv Tafshilin set up by the Rav of the city. Still, ideally, one should be machmir like the Shulchan Aruch and make his own Eruv Tafshilin whenever it is relevant. Halacha Chet. Haminech eruvi tafshilin chayav levarech. Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Gesham Mitzvah Bisivanu, Al Mitzvat Eruv. Ve'omer, Be'eruv ze yutar li lefot ulvashel miyom tov shel machar l'shabbat. Vim zikabo l'achirim, Omer, yutar li v'lifloni ufloni. O l'anshi ha'ir kulan, lefot ulvashel miyom tov l'shabbat. The same bracha of Al Mitzvat Eruv that is made on Eruv Chatzerot and Eruv Tchumen is made on Eruv Tafshilin as well. The person who sets aside the Eruv must also make a pronouncement that through this Eruv I should be permitted to cook and bake on Yom Tov tomorrow for Shabbat. And if he is mizakeh others in this Eruv, then he should mention them along with himself in this pronouncement, either by name or in a general reference to all the people of the city or the like. Two important points about this pronouncement. One, the Shulchan Aruch rules that we mention in it not only cooking and baking, but also lighting Shabbat candles, as this too is a malacha done on Yom Tov for the purpose of Shabbat. Some Achronim suggest that the reason the Rambam doesn't mention this is based on his ruling from Perek Aleph that Havara is permitted entirely on Yom Tov, even not for Ochal Nefesh purposes, and therefore lighting Shabbat candles does not require an Eruv Tafshilin. Two, the Rama is very strict about the need to specify the exact malachot which the Eruv Tafshilin is meant to permit. One who just says, this Eruv should allow me to do everything necessary for Shabbat, is not Yotzei at all. But the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan conclude that in a case of need, one may rely on the opinion of the Maharshal that no pronouncement is required at all. Halachot Tet and Yud mention some details about someone, let's call him Ruvain, who neglects to make an Eruv Tafshilin altogether, nor did anyone else make one for him. Someone else, say Shimon, who made an Eruv, may not cook and bake Ruvain's food for him, unless Ruvain is makne his food to Shimon, so that Shimon is really preparing his own food. After the food is prepared, Shimon may give the finished product to Ruvain as a gift. If Ruvain cooks for Shabbat intentionally, bemazed, in violation of the halacha, then he may nonetheless eat the food on Shabbat despite his sin. But if he is ma'arim, meaning he claims to be cooking only for Yom Tov, but then prepares quantities of food which make it obvious that he is lying, then he may not eat this food on Shabbat. Chazal were more machmir with the ma'arim than with the person who cooks bemezid, because the latter is a rare and occasional sinner who does not threaten the entire institution of Eruv Tafshilin. But if we are lenient about someone who is ma'arim, then everyone will do this, and over time, the concept of Eruv Tafshilin will be completely forgotten. Halacha Yud Aleph. Shnei yamim tovim shechalu b'chamishi v'erev Shabbat, oseh eruvei tafshilin miyom rivi'i, shehu erev Yom Tov. Shachach v'lo hiniach, manicho barishon u'matne. Ketzad, maniach eruvei tafshilin biyom chamishi, ve'omer, im hayom yom tov ul'machar chol, le'machar avashel ve'ofel le'shabbat, ve'ni tzarich klum. Vim hayom chol ul'machar yom tov, be'eruv ze yutar li le'afot ul'vashel le'machar miyom tov le'shabbat. When Yom Tov comes out on Thursday and Friday, the Eruv Tafshilin must be set up before the first day of Yom Tov, that is, on Wednesday. If someone forgets, is there anything that can be done? This exact question came up at the very end of Hilchot Eruvin, regarding someone who forgot to make an Eruv Chatzerot for Shabbat before a two-day Yom Tov on Thursday and Friday. The Rambam introduced there the solution of Ma'arev u'matneh, setting up an Eruv with a stipulation, which works here as well, and he explains the procedure in the Salacha. Recall that when there are 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz Laaretz, only one of them is really Yom Tov. We just don't know which one. So one may set aside food for an Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, the first day of Yom Tov, and say the following. If today is Yom Tov and tomorrow, Friday, is Chol, then I don't need an Erev Tavshilin at all. But if tomorrow is Yom Tov and today is Chol, then I hereby set aside this food as an Erev Tavshilin so I can cook tomorrow for Shabbat. Halacha Yud Bet explains how one may use a similar mechanism if he forgot before the 2 day Yom Tov to separate Truma from Tevel produce, which he wishes to eat on Shabbat. Recall that it is forbidden to separate Truma on Shabbat or Yom Tov because it is a form of Tikkun and resembles Makir Bepatish. On Thursday, he separates Truma from the produce, but he stipulates that the separation should only be effective if today, Thursday, is Chol, not if today is the real day of Yom Tov. On Friday, he does the same thing. Since only one of the 2 days is really Yom Tov, the separation on one of the 2 days is effective, and he may eat the remaining produce any time after the separation on the second day. This mechanism of Ma'arev u'Matneh clearly doesn't work if both days are really Yom Tov, which leads to the limitation, by now familiar to us, in Halacha Yud Gimel. B'medivrei mamurim, b'shnei yamim tovim shel galuyot, aval b'shnei yamim tovim shel rosh hashanah, im shachach v'lo hiniach b'yom revi'i, shuv eino maniach, ela somech al acherim im ervu alav, o makne l'mi she'erev, o ye asro le'afot ulvashel l'shabbat, v'chein im shachach v'lo hifrish truma m'yom revi'i, shuv eino mafrish ad motzei shabbat. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are different from 2 days of Yom Tov and Chutz Laaretz in that both days of Rosh Hashanah are really Yom Tov. Therefore, when Rosh Hashanah falls on Thursday and Friday, and one forgets to set up an Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, then the only 2 ways to cook food for Shabbat are to rely on someone else who included him in his Erev, or to be makne his food to someone else to cook, as we saw in Halacha Tet. Similarly, if he forgot before Rosh Hashanah to separate Truma from Tevel, there is no way to do anything about it until Motzei Shabbat. In Halachot Yud Dalet and Tedvav, the Rambam formulates an original and surprising psak. Kol hadvarim ha'elu shamarnu hayu bizman shayu beidin shel Eretz Yisrael mekadshin al hariyah v'hayu bnei hagaluyot osin shnei yamim kedei listalek min hasafek lefi shelo hayu yodim yom shekidshu bnei Eretz Yisrael. Aval hayom shebnei Eretz Yisrael somchin al ha'cheshbon u'mekadshin alav ein yom tov sheni listalek min hasafek ela min hag bilvad. Ulfichach ani omer she'ein ma'arev adam u'matneh bazman hazeh lo erevei tavshilin v'lo erevei chatzerot v'lo shitufei mevaot v'eino ma'aser ha'tevel al tanai el ha'kol me'erev yom tov bilvad. The solution of ma'arev u'matneh in all three contexts that we learnt, Erev Chatzerot, at the very end of Hilchot Erevin, as well as Erev Tavshilin and separating Truma, which came up here, only worked in the time when the calendar date was determined by Beit Din in Eretz Yisrael through Kiddush HaChodesh, based on the testimony of witnesses who saw the new moon. In that situation, people who lived far away from Jerusalem were in genuine doubt as to which of the 2 days celebrated as Yom Tov was the real one. But now that even in Eretz Yisrael, the date is determined based on the fixed calendar, the reason for the second day of Yom Tov in Chutz Laaretz is not due to any doubt as to the correct day. Rather, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot has the status of minhag, an established custom, and therefore Ma'arev u'Matneh doesn't work at all. The Rambam reaches this conclusion with the words Ani Omer, indicating that this is an original idea without a source in the Gemara. The Ravid and the Shulchan Aruch both reject this conclusion and permit Ma'arev u'Matneh even nowadays in all three contexts. But the Lechem Mishnah points out an inconsistency in the Rambam's psak. This isn't the first time in Hilchot Yom Tov that we've encountered the idea that of the 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz Laaretz, only one is really Yom Tov and the other is Chol. It came up also at the end of Perek Aleph regarding an egg laid on the first of the 2 days. The Rambam ruled there, in accordance with the conclusion of the Gemara in Masechet Beitza, that the egg is permitted on the second day precisely because only one of the 2 days is really Yom Tov. If the first is Yom Tov, then the second day is Chol, so of course the egg is permitted then. If the second day is Yom Tov, then the egg was laid before Yom Tov, and hence is Muchan. So if the Rambam really feels that nowadays the Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galuyot have a different status of Minhag, and both days are really Yom Tov, not just one of them, like he says here, Then why didn't he say that also in Perek Aleph and conclude that nowadays an egg laid on the first day is forbidden even on the second day? By his silence there, the Rambam seems to believe that even nowadays, an egg laid on the first day is permitted on the second. What is the difference between the case of the egg and the cases of making an Eruv or separating Truma with a stipulation? This question is addressed by several of the Nosei Kalim and other Achronim. We point out that the Sefer HaChinuch actually does take this step, and after quoting the Rambam's novel view of Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Galiot Bizman Hazeh, he concludes that the egg is therefore forbidden on the second day. But the Rambam doesn't seem to say that. I'll mention one very nice explanation of the Rambam given by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in his Chidushim here, with the disclaimer that Rav Chaim's language is difficult to follow, and I'm paraphrasing his explanation as I understand it. The Rambam does not mean to say that nowadays both days of Yom Tov and Chutz La'aretz are just like Rosh Hashanah. We continue to observe them as a custom. And since the original nature of the 2 days was that only one is really Yom Tov and the other Chol, this nature of the 2 days is an integral part of the custom as well. But this is only true when we relate to the 2 days together. Taken as a unit, only one of the 2 days is really Yom Tov, and therefore an egg laid on the first day must be permitted on the second day. But because there isn't really a suffix nowadays, we must relate to each day individually as a genuine day of Yom Tov, even as the halachic status of the second day is that of Minhag. So there is no meaning to a stipulation in which one says, if today is really Chol, then I'm setting up this Erev, or if today is really Chol, I'm separating this Truma. Neither day is Chol while that day is being kept as Yom Tov, and so there is no way to set up an Erev or separate Truma on either day. In sum, the difference is between considering both days together, in which case only one of the two is Yom Tov, hence the egg is permitted, and considering each day separately on its own, when each is definitely Yom Tov, and therefore any stipulation which depends on that day being a Yom Chol is entirely ineffective. This completes the first part of the perek, and we continue with Halacha Ted Zayin. Kishem shemitzvah lechabed Shabbat ul'anga, kach kol yamim tovim, shnamar v'likdosh Hashem mechubad. V'chol yamim tovim nemar behen mikra kodesh, u'chvar be'arnu hakavod v'hainug bihalchot Shabbat. V'chein ra'uy la'adam shelo yis'od ba'arvei yamim tovim min ha'mincha v'amala, ke'erev ha'Shabbat, shedavar ze bichlal hakavod, v'chol ha'mevazeh et ha'mo'adot, ki'ilu nitpal la'avodah zarah. Just as there are mitzvot of kavod and oneg regarding Shabbat, as we learned in Hilchot Shabbat Perek Lamed, so too must one practice kavod and oneg regarding Yom Tov. Recall that having 3 seudot is one of the aspects of Oneg Shabbat, and the Rambam ruled in Hilchot Shabbat Perek Lamed that one must have 3 seudot on each day of Yom Tov as well. The Shulchan Aruch, however, rules against the Rambam on this point. So too, one should not eat a meal from the time of Mincha onwards on Erev Yom Tov, just like on Erev Shabbat, as this is part of the general din of kavod. One who treats the holidays with disrespect is considered as if he associates himself with Avodah Zarah, and has no share in Olam Haba, as we saw in Hilchot Tshuva Perek Gimel. Halacha Yud Zayin. Shivat Yimei HaPesach u'Shmat Yimei HaChag im Shar Yamim Tovim kulan asurin besefed v'tanit v'chayav Adam liot behen sameach v'tov lev hu uvana v'ishto uvnei beito v'chol hanilvim alav shnamar v'samachta b'chagecha. Af al pi sha'simcha amura kan hi korban shlamim, kamo sh'anu mevarim bilchot chagiga, yesh bichlal ota simcha lismoach hu uvanav uvnei beito kol echad v'echad bara'ui lo. It is forbidden to fast or recite a eulogy on the 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Chag, by which the Rambam means the 7 days of Sukkot plus Shmini Atzeret, as well as the other Yamim Tovim. On all these days, there is a mitzvah of simcha, based on the Pasuk in Parshat Re'eh of V'samachta Bechagecha. Even though the specific intent of the Pasuk is the simcha of eating a Korban Shlamim, as we'll learn later in the Mishnah Torah, this mitzvah also includes a more general requirement for one to rejoice with his household, each person in the manner appropriate to him, as will be elaborated in the next halacha. 3 important points regarding Halacha Yud Zayin. 1. This is the first time in Hilchot Yom Tov where we've heard anything about the days of Chol HaMoed. We see in this halacha that the mitzvah of simcha applies on these days, including an isser of fasting and of eulogizing as well, though with a caveat that will appear in Halacha Chaf Bet. 2. the Rambam very clearly applies the mitzvah of Simcha to all the Yamim Tovim, including Rosh Hashanah, which appears in the Koteret to these halachot, and in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Note the Rambam's use of the plural Sha'ar Yamim Tovim in this halacha, to refer to Yamim Tovim apart from all of Pesach, Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeret. The only possible reference is to the 2 days of Shavuot and Rosh Hashanah. This is the subject of controversy among Rishonim, because the pasuk of V'samachta B'chagecha appears in the Torah specifically in reference to the Shalosh Regalim, not Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment, on which Simcha is seemingly inappropriate. As we'll see in Hilchot Chanukah, we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah for this reason. Some Rishonim referred to a custom in certain places to fast on Rosh Hashanah, though this was generally frowned upon, because the Psukim in Sefer Nehemiah, which speak explicitly of Rosh Hashanah as a day of eating, drinking, and rejoicing. We won't delve further now into this deep and fascinating topic of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah, except to emphasize again the Rambam's opinion that this mitzvah most certainly applies then. Finally, this halacha makes clear that the mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Tov is not limited to the consumption of korbanot. The korban shlamim brought on Yom Tov is meant to be an expression of Simcha, but does not represent the totality of the mitzvah. In contrast, other Rishonim, including Tosot and Masechet Moed Katan, claim that nowadays, in the absence of the Beit HaMikdash, the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov is entirely midrabanan. For the Rambam, Simcha is a state of mind and a feeling, Sameach V'Tov Lev. Halacha Yudchet elaborates on how to reach the state of mind and concludes with powerful words that speak volumes about the essence of happiness in the eyes of the Torah. Ketzad. Haktanim noten lehen klayot ve'egozim u'migdanot, ve'anashim kone lehen bigadim ve'tachshit kefi mamono, ve'anashim ochlim basar ve'shotin yayin, she'ein simcha ele be'basar ve'ein simcha ele be'yayin, u'chishu ochel ve'shote, chayav la'achil la'ger la'yatom ve'la'amana im sha'ar ha'anim ha'am melalin. Aval mi she'no'el daltot chatzero, ve'ochel ve'shote hu uvana ve'ishto, ve'ino ma'achil u'mashke la'aniyim u'lmarei nefesh, ein zo simchat mitzvah, ela simchat kreso. Val elu ne'mar, zivchehem kelechem onim lahem, kol ochlav yitama'u ki lachmam lenafsham. Ve'simcha kazo kalon hi lahem, shne'mar, ve'zeiriti perish al pneichem, perish chagechem. How does one attain simcha? He gives his children nuts and other treats. He buys his wife and daughters new clothes and jewelry based on what he can afford. Men must eat meat and drink wine, because simcha requires meat and wine. We note that other Rishonim, like the Tosfot we mentioned just before, understand the Gemara of Ein Simcha Ela Bebasar to refer specifically to the meat of a Korban Shlamim, but the Rambam does not feel that way. When one eats and rejoices, he must feed also the ger, the orphan, the widow, and other aniyim. If someone shuts his gates and gives food only to his family, not to the poor and the embittered, this is not the simcha of doing a mitzvah. Rather, it is the simcha of his stomach. The halacha ends with a pasuk from Hosea, which refers to the food of such a person as bread of mourners, because it is only meant for himself and his family, and is the antithesis of simcha. And then a pasuk from Malachi, which declares that Hashem rejects completely the offerings of someone who acts in this manner. The most notable part of this halacha is that it isn't speaking about the mitzvah of tzedakah. The mitzvah to provide for the poor will be discussed later in the Mishnah Torah. This halacha is talking about celebrating Yom Tov, and establishes that in order for a person to feel simcha himself, he must extend himself to others. The next three halachot elaborate further on how Yom Tov should be celebrated. One should arrive early to the Beit Knesset, not later than usual, as is the general custom nowadays, engage in tefillah and hear the Kriyat HaTorah, then go home and eat a meal. Then he should return to learn in the Beit Midrash until it is time for Mincha, and after Mincha he returns home to eat, drink, and rejoice for the rest of the day. This description of the proper Yom Tov schedule follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua in Masechet Beitza, that Yom Tov should be Chetzio LaShem VeChetzio LaChem, half the day engaged in serving Hashem through prayer, Torah reading, and learning, and half the day celebrating the Yom Tov with food and drink. Even as one rejoices, he must avoid drunkenness and excessive levity, which are often mistaken for simcha, but are actually not a mitzvah at all. True simcha is a means to serve Hashem, while drunkenness and levity make it impossible to serve Hashem. Beitin must even appoint officers to circulate among the people and ensure that the celebrations of Yom Tov do not get out of hand, and they need to warn the people that excessive drinking and mingling of men and women can lead to Avera. We continue with Halacha Chaf Bet. Yamim shebein Rishon u'Shvi'i shel Pesach v'Rishon u'Shmini shel Chag HaSukkot v'hein bagola arba'a b'toch ha'Pesach v'chamisha b'toch ha'Chag hein hanikra'in chulo shel Mo'ed v'nikra'in Mo'ed. ואף על פי שהן חייבים בשמחה ואסורים בספד ותענית, מותר לספוד בהן תלמיד חכמים בפניו, אבל אחר שיקבר, אסור לסופדו בהן. ואין צריך לומר בראשי חודשים וחנוכה ופורים שסופדים בהן תלמיד חכמים בפניו, אף על פי שימים אלו אסורים בספד ותענית, אבל אחר קבורה, אסור לספוד בהן. As we saw in Halacha Yud Zayin, it is forbidden to fast or eulogize on the days of Chol HaMoed. Nonetheless, a Talmud Chacham may be eulogized before he is buried, and the same is true on other days in which eulogies are generally forbidden, like Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim. The last two halachot of the perek include more dinim of mourning on Chol HaMoed, and we'll summarize the most relevant details. There is no shiva during Chol HaMoed. One may tear kriya during Chol HaMoed for a relative for whom he sits shiva, that is, a parent, sibling, son, daughter, or spouse, as well as for a Talmud Chacham, or when one is present at the moment someone passes away, even not a relative or a Talmud Chacham. The Ramah records a custom to tear kriya on Chol HaMoed only for a parent, but for other relatives for whom one sits shiva, the kriya should wait until after the Yom Tov ends. Despite the leniencies we saw in Perek Aleph about burial on Yom Tov Sheni, one may not tear kriya on Yom Tov Sheni. During the period of 30 days before Regel, one may not eulogize someone who passed away earlier, nor may he do anything else to arouse feelings of sadness and distress. Rather, during this time, he must remove all worry and grieving from his mind and focus instead on the joy and happiness which is meant to characterize the upcoming holiday.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.